Welcome to the Happiness First Radio Show, where you learn to consciously create the life you want. Your host, Lorraine Gordon, an expert in law of attraction and present moment awareness, along with her expert guests, give you the tools you need to focus your attention and thoughts to create your best life. And now, here's your host, Lorraine Gordon.
Welcome to Your Happiness Way Radio with me, your host and online coach, Lorraine Gordon. And if you're a regular listener, then you know that the information and the guests that I bring you is so that you can create a happier and more love-filled life, a more abundant life in every way, including the material goodies in life. And you may know that I do love my material goodies. You also know that I teach that they will add to your life, but they don't make you happy. This show must be working, and I want to thank you. Because of you, my listening audience, you have kept this show in the top 10% of its kind, and I really do owe it to you. And so thank you so much. Keep listening. Keep sending your friends. I know your time is valuable. I know you've got lots of other choices, and I want to thank you for spending your time with me and the expert guests I bring you. Today, I have a very special show for you. I've got an inspirational man. His name is Keenan Briggs, and Keenan is a professional triple jumper and track and field coach. And he became aware of the law of attraction, and he used it to create his experiences throughout his athletic and coaching career. Keenan has been ranked as high as the top 6 triple jumpers in the USA and ranked amongst the top jumpers in the world. He's been explaining the laws of attraction to his athletes, who have also been able to attract positive experiences on the track. Keenan is the head jumps coach for Mater Dei High School in Santa Ana, California, and the president of the Leap Squad Youth Track Club, based in Orange County, California. And with that, I want to bring this remarkable young man on. Keenan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me, Lorraine.
Well, thank you for being my guest. I think the way that you ended up getting on the show is so interesting. So I want to just tell the listeners about it. Normally, I only have authors and, you know, people that are kind of out there in the public eye. But Keenan is a believer and a practicer of the law of attraction. And he wrote me a letter, and I responded to it. There was something about his letter that was just magnetic. I think I called him on the phone, and we struck up a fun conversation, and I was inspired because of his mission to bring him onto the show so that he can inspire you too, as he did for me. So how was it that you did find me, Keenan?
It was a unique story. I was watching a lot of the Law of Attraction videos on YouTube, and I started liking them. And as I liked them, it would post on my Twitter account as if I was posting to share those videos. And I got a message from you saying, keep up the inspiration. And then I checked on to see who it was, and I saw what you do, and I was really inspired. And one day I was just inspired to reach out to you and contact you, and that's how we got here.
And you were kind of surprised when I called you back and invited you on the show.
Yes, that was something that I actually manifested, which was I wanted to be able to speak to more people and inspire millions of people, and this is a start. So I really enjoy it.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and it's testament to the fact that the law of attraction works when you work it. And the truth is, what I teach, Keenan, and you may be aware of this, is that the law of attraction is always working. You may not like what you're attracting, but it is through that same law. So if we're attracting things that we don't like, that we don't want, it has to do with our energy field and our beliefs and our thoughts and our behavior. Agreed?
Agreed.
So tell us, how did you get started using the law of attraction?
Well, in 2009, I wanted to figure out how to be successful. And I had a friend who I was talking with about what to do and how to get there. and she introduced me to the video, The Secret. And that's really what started me with living a life of deliberate intention and trying to manifest things that I want.
Okay, I like what you just said. Living a life of deliberate intention. Explain to the listening audience what you mean by that.
Well, with the law of attraction, it is whatever you put attention towards is what manifests. So when you live a life of deliberate intention, it's always responding with what you want out of life. So whether it's great, you say, I want more of this. If it's something you don't want, that now made you more clear in what you do want. So you always respond with what you do want out of every experience. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've seen so much positive coming into my life since then.
That was very well put. So what you said was, I just want to repeat it in my words, because I want everybody to get this. This is coming from a young man, Kenan Briggs, who is inspiring thousands of young athletes today because of his use of the law of attraction and his understanding, and he's teaching this through sports to these young people. And what he just said is he's talking about deliberate intention. The thing that you said that was interesting to me, Kenan, is you said that when you get something that you don't like, that makes you clearer on what you do want. So instead of fighting what you don't like, you turn it around and ask yourself, well, okay, I'm not liking this. What is it I do want? And then you put your attention on that.
Correct.
But the truth is, most people don't understand that very simple little thing you just said. It seems simple, but most people are getting what they don't want because they're spending time paying attention to what they don't want.
Yes.
So how did you get that so easily? I mean, I don't know that you got it easily. You explained it easily.
Well, I've been through, obviously, processes and on my way to things that I want to manifest. And every time I've gone through some negative experiences that help clear up what I do want, then I kind of caught on to that. So I started using that in specific detail, what I do want, and then I started seeing the small things on the way to the big thing that I wanted. And with that, I just kept the small things going and speaking to the universe with what I wanted, and then it's just been a snowball effect. And as I get these small things, it leads to the bigger things because I'm living in that vibrational alignment for what I do want in the big picture.
Wow, that's well put. Well put. So it was sort of trial and error, and you were,
yes,
but you were paying attention, and yeah, you were paying attention because you wanted to make the law of attraction work for you. Seriously, that was a serious goal, right?
Yes, yes.
And isn't that a lot different than just saying, "Hey, I want to use the law of attraction," and then forgetting about it, and then wondering why,
yes,
it's not working?
Yes.
What inspired you so much? I mean, it was a great movie. Lots of people saw it, but not everybody actually, you know, worked on it afterwards.
Yes. I'm a big person on the how, and sometimes that can get me in trouble. Because when it comes to the law of attraction, the how is what keeps you in the vibrational alignment of how and experiences of learning more of the how. So I had to take that belief system and take it away and say, I just trust in it and I know that it's going to work. Now, what really I dove into it with, I got into more motivational speakers with Les Brown. I searched more books with, you know, Esther Hicks and the teaching of Abraham.
Okay.
And that's what really cleared it up.
So you researched it. You really you strived to comprehend it so you could use it.
Yes, I really dove in deeper and deeper to where I was watching some, you know, molecular science of how the body works. And it was amazing because it all resonated with me.
Ah.
I understood it.
Yeah, I get it. Have you looked into quantum physics at all? Because it's all pretty clear right there.
Yes, very detailed. I probably spent 3 or 4 weeks, 2 hours a day, just really looking into as many videos as possible. And it was just amazing because I understood most of it.
Well, yeah. Maybe you're an old soul and you're coming back this time around with that specific intention. That could very well be.
Yes.
I'm a believer in that. Are you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I could tell. I could tell. So, Kenan, you know, for everyone listening, what would you say the secret to your success was? Was it intention?
I would say it was the intention, but also the trusting. Mm. Because every ounce of worry, every ounce of doubt is a manifestation in itself.
So exactly.
If you go into it with, I hope so is different from I know and I expect.
Exactly. However, did that come naturally to you, or did you work up to that knowing and that trusting?
I worked up to it.
Okay, so I want you to tell us a little bit about that process.
Well, it comes down to trial and error, you know, when it comes to the bigger things, such as happiness or maybe your dream car or whatever it may be, there's always going to be that natural doubt because it's in your mind, it's seen as a bigger manifestation. But then on a small scale, it could be having a great day. It could be saying hi to some friends that I haven't spoken with in a long time. When I put those two into the same type of perspective, then it made so much more sense because the biggest goals are the same thing as the smallest goals when you really believe it.
Well, as far as manifesting, that's true because the universe isn't judging and saying, well, this is, you know, you can't have a BMW, you can only have a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Or a Honda, which is actually a very nice car, but it's not a BMW. They're all very nice cars. But I think that's what you're saying, right? Manifestation is manifestation, and through trial and error, you learned when you could manifest the little things, and then your understanding of maybe metaphysics or quantum physics, that to the universe there really is no difference. So you approach the big things in the same way you approach the small things.
Very true, yes.
I get it. I like it. So how are you using the law of attraction with your track and field?
Well, when I was researching, you know, just methods and training methods and ways to help an athlete improve, there's a huge part with visualization. And your brain doesn't know the difference between, research has shown that I've seen, that your brain doesn't know the difference between physically doing it and doing it in the mental world. The same muscles fire. So when it comes to teaching it to the athletes, is having them set goals weekly, daily, you know, per season, and having them put themselves in the vibrational alignment of that goal.
And then did you teach them how to visualize?
Yes. So in the beginning, you know, I actually walked them through it. I had them, you know, relax their mind and had them picture what it felt like, you know, what the environment was and so on. And then now I can just tell them, all right, guys, make sure you visualize 5-10 minutes per day, and that helps them prepare for the track meets that they are going to attend.
For everyone listening, if you haven't yet, go ahead and get my free gifts. One of them is a book on visualization. And I have one as a free gift, and I also have one on Amazon that's a more involved gift, more involved book or teaching if you want you know, more information. But, Kenan, I am a big proponent of visualization, and I've done it and used it with Law of Attraction all my life to get all of the things that I have actually gotten, including, you know, happiness and you know, the more of the emotional kinds of things. Have you tried, you know, visualizing for emotional changes?
Yes. Recently, I had a loved one pass away.
Mm.
And the emotion that goes through, it's up and down, you know. And when I went to see my grandmother in, you could say, quote-unquote, her deathbed, she was passing away, I first thought of, it's going to be a very sad situation seeing her at the hospital in this state. Then I said, you know what, well, what do I really want out of this? And I said, I want to see happiness. I want to see her for who she really is and see her happy. So when I got to the hospital, the family was there, and it was a happy situation. It was, we all kind of, you know, knew that her time on the physical form was ending, but we knew that it wasn't for her. And it was a joy-filled experience having her around for those last moments, and it was a completely different situation from how it was before when I lost a loved one, when I wasn't in this vibrational state.
Wow, that was great. That is so beautiful, what you just said. That was very inspirational, Kenan. You speak so well. So it was your decision that her passing didn't have to be necessarily unhappy. Yes, you were going to miss her, but you wanted her to be happy. That's what you said. Your desire was for her to be happy. You didn't even really say you wanted to be happy. You said you wanted her to be happy.
Yes.
And so when she was happy, it made it easier for everyone else, right?
Correct.
Was she happy as she passed?
Yes, she was.
She had everybody she loved around her.
Everyone was there, and it was different from the traditional thought process of that environment.
Wow. That's really a signature moment in your life. You ought to write about that, Kenan. You really should. So tell us about your 2011 Track Nationals experience.
Well, it was exciting. I was learning how to manage myself, because as you get out of college, you have to manage your bookings of your flights, your travel, your room, and everything. So I got to a track meet, and in California, we don't have too many indoor track meets because the weather is so beautiful.
Right.
And I had to travel to Seattle, not realizing that that was the very last weekend I could qualify for the indoor nationals. And it got down to, you know, I had one jump left, and I had to improve 2 feet. And I have been visualizing that perfect jump, not for that specific date, but I had visualized that perfect jump. And I say, you know what? Now's the time that it's going to happen. That's all I said. And I ran down the runway, and I didn't feel my body jump. I actually felt what I had visualized. Then I landed in the pit, and it was my lifetime best. And that qualified me for the 2011 Indoor Championships, where I, again, was able to manifest those same types of jumps.
So you brought up that you didn't understand that it was an indoor or an outdoor. Why did you bring that? Was that, were you sort of saying to us that you weren't focusing on the importance of that particular meet?
Well, that meet was very important, but when I was visualizing, I couldn't actually see the environment. I just felt it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you felt your body moving through the air, taking that jump, and the triumph of the win?
Yes.
So explain it to me. If I were a jumper, for example, and I want you to explain to me what I see. So my eyes are closed, and I see and feel my body doing what? Why don't you run us through how you teach your kids?
Okay, well, when I have them close their eyes, I have them feel the emotions as if they're already at that track meet, as if they already had a great jump and so on. So they're already in that positive mindset.
But I want you to go into detail on this. So the emotions, are they feel the crowd, or they, what? How do you help them bring about those emotions?
Okay, it's setting the environment. So I'll have them picture where they are. If they've been to this meet before, they've been to this venue, how many people are in the stands, the pressure of where they are. If they're a junior, if they're a senior in high school, how many meets they have left, the pressure of, you know, all these elements into their jump. So now they can picture the scenery of what it is.
Okay, that's really important. So you set the scene that and so for everyone listening, first you set the scene that helps bring about the emotion, because adding emotion to the picture is really what powers the law of attraction. It's emotion more than anything. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do agree.
Okay, so now you've got them all ready. They feel like they're there. Now, what comes next?
Now it's, I have them break down each individual segment of the jump. So in the triple jump, there are three phases: the hop, step, and jump.
Okay.
So the hop is where they jump off of one of their feet, and they travel a certain distance. And to maximize that distance, they have to spend more time in the air. So I have them picture it in slow motion, so they can really get every single detail of the movement. Then, you know, each athlete, I have certain cues that they have to hit, so they go through those specific cues. Then once they get to the next phase, they, again, repeat the cues that I have them do for each position, then their jump. Then I give them about 3 to 5 minutes just to go through that over and over again. So essentially, they're perfecting that perfect jump, and they're going through the emotions of it. And by the fifth time they go through it, they usually have a more excitement, more emotion within that visualization period.
Wow. Okay. Do you give them smaller things to learn to visualize first?
Yes. So every week we set goals, and I have them write down 3 track meet goals and 3 goals for the week. So when they visualize something as small as, you know, have a good week or learn this aspect or work hard, they've set that goal already for the week, and then they visualize it the whole week, and then I remind them at the end of the week the goals they have accomplished.
So positive reinforcement then.
Yes.
You know, when I start by teaching my students and clients how to visualize, I start by explaining that you can close your eyes and sort of look ahead with your eyes closed at a blank screen in the forehead of your mind. Do you ever use that technique?
Yes. Yes, I have.
And so this is Joseph Murphy's technique, actually.
Yeah. Which,
oh, okay.
Yes,
well,
it is.
Yeah, he's pretty wonderful, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he's one of my heroes. And so I teach my students to first visualize something as simple as an apple.
Yep. You know,
something every day, or maybe just look at their hand with their eyes and then close their eyes and project their hand onto the screen of their mind. And so sometimes even starting with everyday things and then adding motion can be a good way for absolute beginners.
Yes.
Because I have people tell me that come to me as a private client, I can't visualize, Lorraine. And actually, by the time we do a couple of exercises, they realize, yes, they do visualize. We visualize all the time, but until you're made aware of it, you don't even know you're doing it.
Yes, that's very true.
So now you talk about manifesting our negative experiences. Why don't you explain your take on that?
Okay, my take on it is, let's say you have 2 pots and they're filled with soil and there's a seed in it. One is a positive pot and one is a negative pot. And obviously, if you want the seed to grow into a tree or a plant, you're going to show attention to it by watering it.
Right.
Now, let's say you have the positive thoughts. That's you metaphorically putting water into that positive pot. Now, there's the negative pot. That could be worry or disconcern or doubt or whatever, but you're still showing attention to those things. So now let's say, you know, I want to hit a sales quota for my job, and I'm having great sales one day, I feel good, and I'm feeding that positive pot. Then I start thinking, well, today I'm at a lesser number. I was hitting better numbers yesterday. That is going to be that attention to that negative pot. So essentially, they're both going to grow. And if you keep dwelling on the negative things, is you're showing attention to that negative things, which essentially helps manifest the negative experiences.
Exactly. And that's kind of identical to what we were talking about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you said, you put it in a different way than I've actually ever heard it, that when something bad happens to you, or you perceive as bad or negative, it should actually give you a clearer picture of what you want to have happen, rather than seeing it as bad, see it as, well, this is great, now I have a comparison.
Yes.
I don't want this, so what is it I do want?
Yes.
And you put that seed into the positive pot, and then you water that one, right?
Yes. Always rewater it.
Okay. I love it. That's great. And so these are the kinds of things you teach your kids?
Yes, all the time.
Do they look at you wide-eyed and in awe?
By now, they're just kind of like, he's still talking. I get it.
Well, you know, the truth is, you can think you get it, but as my mentor, Deepak Chopra, says, every time you learn something, even if you think you've heard it before, you are actually a different person. And so you comprehend it differently. You comprehend it on a different level, because every bit of information you take in changes you on a cellular level, which means that whatever thought or idea or nutrient even that you put into your field, your mentality, your body, you accept it differently. So I think it's in the Bible. It says, be as a little child. So be wide-eyed with wonder so that you can always learn in that new way.
Yes.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, and I completely agree. When I've heard that many times, and what I've been doing lately is, you know, when I'm traveling or whatnot, I'll download some audiobooks and I'll listen to it, and I'll just repeat the same chapter for the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a point in time where I feel like I know enough,
mm-hmm.
even though I don't. I'll wait until that week is done. When I listen to an audio tape, sometimes I'll have to hear it several times. So what I've done now is I said I'm going to listen to the same chapter or same tape for a week straight. And then every time I hear it, I hear something different. Something different resonates with me, or I become more clear on what I was listening to, and it makes so much more sense each time I hear it.
So you, in other words, you actually actively listen. You don't say to yourself, ho-hum, I've heard that before, but you're actively listening for a little nugget. Is that, could you say, put it that way?
Yes. It feels like every time I hear it, I'll only hear the same thing a few times.
Isn't that interesting? You know, as a teacher, because I do, even though I'm a coach and an inspirational speaker, I think of myself as a teacher. A, the best way for me to learn is to teach it. Do you not find that to be true?
Yes.
As you pass it along, don't you get it in a much deeper level?
Yes, it becomes more clear as I'm able to explain it than I hear myself explaining it, which sometimes gives me that aha moment.
Yeah, and you know what happens to me, and it might happen to you too. Sometimes I'll listen to or watch one of my own videos, read one of my own tweets, read my own blog, and think, wow, did I write that? That's really good. And it's like new information, even though I was the one teaching it. So it kind of goes to show you do change, and you do get it on a different level, right?
Yes.
So when you have an athlete in your, first of all, as an athlete, you have to be very disciplined. And I think that that has really helped you in using the law of attraction, because you made it a goal. And as an athlete, you understand goals, right?
Correct.
I was also an athlete as a youngster. I was a competitive swimmer. And I think that I never thought of it that way, but it's possible that that gave me the discipline to really nail this stuff.
Yes.
Not that you ever actually nail it, Kenan, because I'm always learning, aren't you?
Yes, all the time. Every day is a new opportunity.
And you love it, don't you?
Yes.
I can hear it in your voice. So how do you communicate this stuff to your kids?
The best way that I found is I try to put it into a story or an element that they can relate to. So, you know, a lot of times when they're coming out to practice or they're a new athlete of mine, I ask them, why are they here? What do they want out of it? What sports did they do growing up? And when I give them specific drills, I relate it to something that's personal to them. And it helps us communicate that much easier.
And so how does that coincide with the law of attraction?
Well, I feel that once I understand the way they think, it helps me be able to explain it to where they understand it easier.
Okay, thanks so much, Kenan, and I want to hear all about that. But first, let me take a brief break for my sponsors.
The power of the I am is yours at LOAAffirmations.com, bringing you the very best in audio affirmations programs and introducing our newest title, I Am Happy, Healthy, and Wealthy. All of the LOAAffirmations.com programs are MP3 instant downloads and come with multiple audio and subliminal tracks. Order yours today at LOAAffirmations.com.
Have you ever imagined a life without worries, fears, and problems? What if I told you that you no longer had to live like that? Changes are possible for you through my teachings and affirmations, CDs, DVDs, and apps. Through our book, Peace in the Present Moment, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and I can show you how living in the present moment will change your life. Visit my website, peaceinthepresentmoment.net, and get inspired on my Facebook page of over 73,000 likes.
Okay, Kenan, so we're back again, and I want to welcome you to the show. This is Kenan Briggs for all of you out there, and Kenan is a coach, a track and field coach, and a heck of an athlete himself. an award-winning athlete, as a matter of fact, and he inspires his students by communicating to them the law of attraction. And that's how he's had his success and how he is helping his students. So tell us, how do you get that across to your athletes?
Well, every day, you know, I try to have a focus point, whether it's training, the mental part of it. And a lot of times athletes will tell me they're tired or they're feeling a certain way. Then I ask them, well, what do you want out of this? And sometimes when they're faced with this physical challenge, I let them know that the goals you gave to me last month or last week, this is part of the process. This is what it feels like to reach the goal that you're trying to reach. Then they respond that much better when it comes to the training.
Okay. And are you explaining to them actually that it is the law of attraction? Or are you leaving that part out and just sort of hoodwinking them by accident?
Well, the beginning of the week is where I focus on the law of attraction when it comes to the elements and explaining it to them. Then they go through the training. Then the next week, we then recap. So I tie everything in each week. So during each practice, it's really just straightforward. But then I recap everything with, this is what I did and why I did it and how it helps you with your goals and the things you have set for yourself.
Okay. Are they fascinated by it?
Yes. My first year, I had a freshman who wrote down her goals, and she had no idea. Her first time running track, I said, just get specific, and I said, give me a week before you turn these goals and really study what track and field is. And by the end of the year, she literally met every single goal she had set for herself.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing.
And so do you feel that through sports and athletics, you're helping these kids to be better at life and not just track and field?
That is my goal. Uh-huh. My platform, my stage is track and field, uh-huh, because with track and field and like yourself in swimming, you put hard work in, then you get a tangible number of, I improved this much time, or I threw this much further, whatever it may be. But, you know, other sports, you can be the greatest athlete would be right behind the Michael Jordans or the Kobe Bryants or whatever else, and not really get to showcase your talent. But in track and field and these quote-unquote individual sports, you have that number to show your improvement.
Mm, so you're pitting yourself, in a sense, against yourself. So it's being the best possible you can be.
Correct.
Because we all suffer in comparison? I mean, can't we always find something to make ourselves feel badly if we look for it?
Yes, it's very easy.
So that's also mental training and discipline, isn't it? When you veer into that area where you say, well, gee, maybe this person runs faster or jumps higher or has maybe more initial ability, born with more ability, you could feel bad about yourself, or you could focus on your own accomplishments and your own goals, right?
Yes.
So how do you teach your kids to do that?
Well, with track, I tell them, you know, the great thing about track and field is you're always a starter. You get to showcase your talent, and everyone that's here to watch you, they're here to see you do the best you can do. And when you take away the others around you, and realize that this is your moment to shine, and all the hard work you've put in and all the things you sacrificed and the process to get you here, you get to showcase now. Helps them understand that whatever they do, it's on them. And they can create what they want out of this one performance.
Do you have any underprivileged kids that you've helped spur them on to living a happier life?
Yes.
We all hear of kids that are coming from very unhappy, unstable households, and then the coach is the one that actually, you know, is their most memorable person in their life that helped them get through these horrible times.
Yes. There are a few athletes that I have that sometimes their parents are too hard on them when it comes to expectations, and the weight sits on the athlete. But what I let the athlete know is you can find whatever you want out of this experience. You can create whatever it is you want. Then I introduce that with track and field, but also let them know that carries on to life. And then I'll see athletes using this for other things, such as you know, becoming an ASB president or going out and doing more nonprofit events and so on. And they're becoming happier because they're looking for these manifestations versus just letting life pass as it goes.
So they're looking for, in other words, they're looking for the little things in life or the not so little things that bring about joy. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct.
And focusing on those things. You mentioned charity. Is that something that you talk a lot about with your students, your athletes?
Yes. Yes. So far, once a year, we've done a donation of our time. You know, it's not about money. It's not about, you know, it's about time because time is the most valuable thing we have in our world. And, you know, we'll go to the Isaiah House, which is a women's homeless shelter in the city of Santa Ana, where we just show up and we offer our time. Last year was for Thanksgiving. The other year it was for just random things. But having them understand that there's other people in this world that have different levels of life and to appreciate life as a whole.
And then, of course, that incredible feeling that you get when you know you're brightening another person's day or you're giving something of yourself to them. Don't you think that plays a huge role?
Yes.
It helps teaching them values?
Yes. Teaching them values in that there's more to life than just living it. There's actually offering your time, whether it's a gesture or just helping bring smiles to other people's lives as well.
Gosh, you're a likable guy, Kenan. You really are a sweetheart. Tell me, is there a difference between teaching the law of attraction to kids? I mean, well, you haven't really probably taught it to adults, have you?
Yes, I have a lot of friends that say, you're just so happy. What are you doing?
Does it make them a little aggravated? It sounded like they're annoyed.
Yeah, and I just tell them, you know, I choose happiness. So I usually have a lot of friends that contact me asking me, you know, how are you so happy? What is it that you're doing? And I just tell them that I just choose happiness. Whatever the situation is just to choose happiness every time and understanding that I'm on pace to manifest the things that I've already set.
Based on your level of emotion. So when you're happier, obviously you're going to attract more things that increase your happiness, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think, you know, one of the modules of my signature program is happiness is a choice. Most people don't realize that happiness is a choice. They believe it's the luck of the draw. They believe that their happiness is determined by their experiences and their place in life. But that's not necessarily true. In other words, you can see people in the most dire circumstance who still actually feel happiness. Is that not true?
Yes, very true.
And that can be very inspirational. Okay, so how did you come to the conclusion that happiness was a choice?
Well, through my research, I've come to the understanding that we are the creators of our experiences. So just deciding, I choose to be happy in whatever situation this is, and not dwell on the negative, has allowed me to continue to keep that going.
So that's interesting, and you said something when we were talking earlier about the alarm. When you wake up with the alarm, it kind of made you angry. So how did you decide to wake up with the alarm and not be angry?
I made the conscious choice that the alarm is going to bring me happiness.
So you're saying that so much of your emotions have to do with what you intend, and you intend happiness.
Yes.
Right? And that means if a person out there is listening and they're in a victim mentality and that, oh, why does this always happen to me? That can be turned around, that you can choose to look at all of your life's experiences as being on the road to your greater good. And when you look at it that way, you can actually feel good about a situation that may look bad on the outside, such as that miserable, I mean, the alarm is a small thing, but it doesn't sound good when you're snug and warm and in the middle of a delicious dream and ring, that alarm goes off. Oh, you know, I remember myself as a kid, I actually hated it when my mother would come in the room and she'd say, Lorraine, it's time to get up. And I would get, oh God, I would hate that. You know, I really never got past that, Kenan. I think if that happened today, I'd probably get angry. Fortunately, I don't have to deal with it. That's funny. So let me ask you a question. How much do the parents of these kids affect the growth of the kids within track and field? In other words, how much do they need from their parents determines their success?
I think it's huge. My mom was very positive, you know, and now with sports becoming so demanding with, you know, the club teams and outside of high school sports and et cetera, you have a lot of pressure from the parents expecting the kids to be really good. And then the kid has more of a awareness of how good they should be. And if they don't perform, how that could affect their college career and et cetera. It comes down to, what I've noticed is the parents that are kind of just go have fun, do the best you can do, regardless of the outcome, but still win, that mixture of competition but also just have fun creates a better athlete because they have that same type of expectation from themselves.
So it kind of goes back to happiness, doesn't it?
Yes.
So they're not putting that horrible pressure on themselves.
Very true.
You know, I was on the way to the Olympics as a swimmer, and the pressure that was put on me was so demanding from my father and my coach that it pressured me out of it. I just couldn't. I crumpled under the pressure. I just couldn't handle it. So is that what you mean? Do you see that happen to kids?
Yes.
Where they just they crack under that much pressure, and they just have to get out of it. So a promising athlete, it could kill their career.
Yes. Because you got to think about it, you know, within any type of area, you know, there's a lot of pressure, and specifically with sports, especially in the Olympics, you know, you're one of very few people with not only the talent, but you've sacrificed so much, and that physical stress of training, mental stress of what, you know, the world expects from you, then you go home, then you have your family having that same type of stress put on you.
Yeah.
It's very heavy.
You need a break. You really do. But what you said is cool. You said have them, teach them to look at it as fun. Hey, I want to win, but I'm going to have a good time no matter what. This is going to be a fun experience. And so they're happy rather than that horrible. You say pressure. Pressure can be like a 1,000-pound weight bearing down on the top of your head, and you just feel buried by it.
Yes.
So what do you do with kids whose parents are pressuring them so much? How do you help them?
I assess it. Then I adjust my coaching methods to them, so my delivery, the way I explain things. And then I realize now that when they have the smallest improvements, we celebrate it. We celebrate everything.
Celebrate, you know.
Gotta celebrate.
Celebrate it. God, you and I are so much the same in the way of thinking because I teach my students the same thing. Celebrate your victories, however small they may seem. Because that's part of being happy, is putting your focus on the good things, right?
Yes.
Wow. So instead, where the parent says, hey, okay, so you only increased your speed by a quarter of a second, big deal, you teach them to, this is monumental, let's be happy about this, and that only increases it.
Yes.
Law of attraction.
Only more will come from it.
Law of attraction, exactly. Exactly. That's wonderful. So how does teaching the law of attraction to your team? As a matter of fact, let's talk about these two teams. You've got a youth club team and a high school team. Do you teach them both the same?
The high school team were more detailed into it because I have more time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the youth team, it's on a smaller scale just because they're younger and they kind of already have this way of thinking, because the life experiences are less when it comes to a younger athlete.
You mean, in other words, they have more positive experiences?
Yes.
Really?
I feel the more open, just the imagination is so much easier to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell a 10-year-old, okay, you're going to do high jump for the very first time, they're going to say, well, what does it look like? Then I show them, and they go do it.
First,
you may have a high school junior or senior. They're going to say, well, what does it look like? They're going to say, that looks dangerous, because my experiences say that dangerous means I shouldn't do it.
Right.
And just being able to break through those types of walls.
So it's really fun getting a hold of those young kids then, isn't it?
Yes. It's fun.
Wow. Yeah. But equally as exciting when you can help that child or that youngster who has already developed that negativity or that fear, and then you can break through that for them.
Yes. I think that's been one of the most challenging changes as a coach is I have athletes that say, I want to compete in college. So then it's being able to first help them learn what it takes on the training side of it and adapt their body to it, but also creating adversity at practice that they're going to face when they get to college.
Mm-hmm. So you get them used to the pressure? Is that it?
Yeah. Yes.
So was it your parents that got you through all this? They gave you this mindset so that you would be positive, or did you have to work at it?
Yes, my mom was always just positive. Sometimes you would think, how are you so positive during these environments? But she just knew there's always going to be a way out.
Wow.
You know, mm-hmm. My dad was the opposite. He was more of the, show me the proof. You know, I have to see it before I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the perfect mixture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I just said, you know what? I give up on the how. I can feel it. And as I feel it, I know it is as true. And I just kept going with that.
You know, one of my favorite mentors, Wayne Dyer, says it's exactly the opposite. It's you have to believe it to see it, not
yes.
See it to believe it. So in other words, there are things that we actually cannot see that are right in front of us. We cannot see it because we can't conceive of it. Did you know that there are stories, and I kind of sound a little uneducated talking about this because I can't remember it that well, but there's a story of these natives on an island, and they'd never seen ships. They never had seen ships come in. And ships were coming in to their island, and all they saw were high seas. They saw high seas because they could not conceive of a ship.
Okay.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So it's the same with us. We could have opportunities that are right in front of us, right under our nose. But unless we believe that they're there, we cannot see them.
Yes.
Interesting.
I think what resonated with me the most was, let's just say, for example, there's a foreign language written on a wall somewhere. If you have no idea what the symbols mean, it's just symbols on a wall. But then the second you understand that language, those symbols become something, and it creates a word that you understand. And I think that's the same way that we have to look at it as when it comes to the universe and the world, is I can picture something, and I understand it. And then when it manifests, that is me making that a reality.
Right. So it's all about reading, maybe being sensitive to the symbols. I always believe in being sensitive and aware of the synchronicities in life, because those little people think of them as coincidence. You may not believe in such a thing as coincidence. I don't particularly. I think of it as synchronicity. And the more we tune into that synchronicity, the more we actually are led. That's the kind of language of the universe, or the symbols, or the word that maybe we don't, the language we don't understand, that is actually leading us to our goal or to our good.
Yes. Yes.
You find it fun, the law of attraction, don't you?
It is amazing. it's fun because the law of attraction works in unique ways that make it fun for you.
Wow. I think that's wonderful. You know, I want to thank you for the very generous gift that you have offered the listening audience. Keenan is giving you a free sports motivation consultation via either email or Skype, and he's giving out one of them, just only one, so it's going to be the first one of you that actually takes him up on this offer, and it will be up to 15 minutes in length. And as you can hear, this is a pretty darn motivating guy. There's going to be a link on the page that you have found this recording, and maybe you found it on Blog Talk or iTunes or Libsyn, wherever you found it, there will be a link there so that you can get in on that. And you can also, I will also have Keenan's website on there, but just for you to know it, it's KeinanBriggs.com. That's KeinanBriggs.com. And so Keinan is going to give the first person who takes him up on this offer a 15-minute motivation consultation. I think that's pretty great, Keinan. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for having me.
You should be able to help a lot of kids that way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to give more than one. Why don't you give three?
Sounds good.
pressure on the air. How's that?
It worked.
I used the law of attraction for that. Now, you offer digital video analysis. So just tell us, we're really out of time, but I want you to explain what that means.
Well, a lot of times athletes will feel as if they're doing something correct, but when they watch it, they're slightly short or overdoing something. What I do is I have the person send me a video of them competing, then I analyze their video and then send that video back to them so they're able to see where they can improve.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So that's something that's, you can offer them various services to help them in their sport even though they are not going to be in front of you or on your team. You can help them through digital analysis.
Yes, I actually had an athlete who improved 2 feet and made it to nationals this year.
Are you serious? Two
yes.
feet on a jump? Is that what you mean? He jumped 2 feet longer, further?
Yes, he jumped 2 feet further in the triple jump.
Isn't 2 feet, isn't that a huge, huge amount to improve yourself by?
Depending on the level you are, him being a college athlete, 2 feet is a huge number to improve.
Huge!
So it was pretty fun to be a part of.
I bet it was. I bet it gives you a great feeling. I want to thank you so much, Keinan, for being my guest today, and I will say goodbye to my audience in a moment. But first, do you want to leave the audience with any particular words of wisdom or pearls?
Yes.
Go
Take
ahead.
Control of your life and live a life of deliberate intent. Every event that comes along, always choose and decide what you want from every experience. Then you will live your bliss.
Cool. I love that. I almost wish I would have written it down. Thanks again, Keinan, for being here with me. I hope you come back and you'll be a guest another time. And for my listeners, I want you to know that you have really received some valuable stuff today. You've heard this in a completely different way than I normally bring it to you and my guests. And this was a very motivational and inspirational show. We had a young man, a coach, who is a champion in his own right, and he is actually creating champions in the world of sports. And so we know that you want to be happy. I know that you want to have peace of mind. And I promise you, you can. But you have to begin to put into action all the things that you hear and that you learn through my program and programs like them. You see, in order to make them stick, you have to have the intention, and it really helps to have a calm and peaceful mind. And that's why you should go ahead and get my free gifts, because along with a visualization book that I offer you for free, you just click on the link, you get it for free. You'll also receive a guided meditation that will bring you into that place of peaceful clarity. When you're peaceful and your mind is silent, that's when you recognize where you're putting your attention. And where you're putting your attention is how you are using the law of attraction. I want to thank you so much for listening. Please help others by making a comment under the show or sending the show on to your friends. That helps you to actually incur better karma because you're helping others. Send me an email. Let me know what you want. That's what I want to give you. This is Lorraine Gordon. I'm your online coach. I see you having your best life. You need to see it too and make it a reality. I'll be back with you next week, same time, same place. Namaste and bye for now.
You've been listening to Happiness First, The Rest Will Follow with Lorraine Gordon.
Because I'm happy.
She'll be back next week with another great show. And to learn more about Happiness First, visit LorraineGordon.com. That's LorraineGordon.com. www.thehappinessfirstradioshow.com. Be sure to subscribe and receive some fantastic free gifts. Lorraine wants to bring you more of what you want, so please make a comment on the show page here. Or you can email her at lorraine@lorrainegordon.com. And thank you for listening.